This week's parsha is Chayesara. The shiur will be divided into two segments, two parts, two components. The first component, I will speak a bit about the parsha itself, and then I'm going to say divrei hesped, a eulogy for Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein, zecher tzaddik lebracha, who passed away on Erev Shabbos, and the levaya was in the United States yesterday, and this morning the levaya took place in Eretz Yisrael. He's buried next to his father, Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, on Har Menuchos. I'll begin with a comment on the parsha. The Torah tells us in this week's parsha, we know that Eliezer, Eved Avraham, was sent by his master, by Avraham Avinu, to find a wife for Yitzchak. And Eliezer, in Perek Chavdalid, Sukkim Yudbeis Yudgimel Yudalid, devises the following test. He davens to Hashem, and he says, Hakreino lefanai hayom, vasei chesed im Adoni Avraham. He asks Hashem to do me a great chesed. What is the nature of the chesed? Hinei anochi nitzav alein hamoyim. He's going to be at the well. Uvnos anshei ha'ir yotzos lishol moyim. And the maidens of the city, the women of the city, are going to come to draw water. And then the following test is formulated. The girl to whom I say, please pour some water for me to drink. The Omer shall say, and she will tell me, okay, please drink. The Gam Gimalecha Ashke. She also will offer to fetch water for his camels. If that's what's going to happen, said Eliezer, that will be a sign that she's the correct spouse, the correct wife, Rav Yitzchak Avinu, uvo eda ki yasisa chesed madoni, and then I will know that you, Hashem, have done with me chesed. So notice that Eliezer essentially is asking Hashem for chesed. Do me a favor. Do me a big kindness. And this is the test. So this test, right away, the Gemara asks a number of times in Shas. The Gemara asks the following question. This sounds like what is called in halacha nichush. The Torah says, "Lo tinachashu v'lo so'neinu." You're not allowed to ask Hashem for different types of omens. I'll give an example of what an omen is. I say, if a fox crosses my path, I'll do X. That is something which is bordering on necromancy, on witchcraft, on the occult. That's a law in the Torah. Lo tenachashu. So how in heaven's name can Eliezer, Eved Avraham, devise such an omen? O-M-E-N. It's what's called in English a soothsayer. Many people have this on different occasions. If this happens, then I'll do that. If that doesn't happen, I won't do that. So the Gemara says in Chulin on Daf Sadikim the base, Kol nichosh she'eno ke Eliezer Eved Avraham eno nichosh. Eliezer is the classic nichosh. That's the classic soothsayer, the classic necromancer, the classic witchcraft. So right away, the Rishonim Tosfos on the spot asks the kasha, how is it possible that Eliezer, who is the faithful servant of Avraham Avinu, Chazal tell us he was a massive Talmud Chacham. Eliezer, Damesek Eliezer, why is that term used to describe him? The term Damesek means Dole Umashke Mitoras Rabo La'achirin. He knows the Torah of his Rebbe, of Avraham Avinu, and he teaches it to others. So he's an Eved who's incredibly knowledgeable. We find such Avadim in the Gemara a number of times. So how is it possible he can engage in Nichush? So Tosfos answers, of course, Eliezer did not do any Avera, but rather, Eliezer based his final choice of a wife on other considerations. And they bring a number of rayas because he didn't give Rivka the bracelets till after she explained what her genealogy was to him. And he didn't really rely upon this omen, but apparently was more convinced by her yichus. Yichus means the background where she came from, the family of Avraham Avinu. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodas Chachamim, Perek Yud Aleph, does not agree with Tosfos. And he writes that Eliezer committed an Aveira. He did a sin. He committed a transgression. The Ravid, there on the spot, in Perek Yud Aleph, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, in Mishnah Torah, Halacha Dalet, takes an entirely different approach. He says that the Gemara was not at all discussing Nichush, but the Gemara is talking about what signs are effective. Because according to the Ravid, the Gemara is simply saying that although what Eliezer did was not forbidden, is not under the Isser of Nichush, but nevertheless, it's not wise to rely on such a sign. And in general, we're not into omens. So what Eliezer did do was the following. Apparently, it was inherently logical. It was farsighted and quite relevant to the matter at hand. Because essentially, what did he do? He set for himself a test that would gauge the personality of Rivka. I would even suggest not only did it gauge her personality, but it reflected the essence of her neshama. Chazal said that Eliezer was looking for a kind of personality who would be a balas chesed par excellence, who embodied the kind of chesed that was Avram Avinu's major characteristic. Rashi comments here in Perek Chavdalu, Pasuk Gedalu, Oso ho chachta le'abdecha le'yitzchok, if she's a gomelet chesed, someone who's a very kind person, then she belongs in the house of Avram Avinu. Let's just spell that out a little bit. Rashi writes in Perek Chafei, I remember my father, Olav HaShalom, was always astounded by this. How old was Rivka? So Chazal says she was 3 years old at that time. It's true that there are Rishonim who disagree with this statement of Chazal. Take a look at the Das Kenan of Aliyat Tosfos, who follows a well-known position in Chazal and the Seder Olam Rabbah that she was 14 years old. That my father found to be a bit easier to handle. But the Ramban already and other Rishonim indicate that 3 years old means that she had a certain perspicacity, she had a certain brilliance to her, even at the age of three. I always maintain, this is just an editorial comment, if you wish, on the side, that my generation perhaps is more mature than yours at your age, but you are 10,000 times more sophisticated than I ever was at your age. So there's a distinction between maturity and sophistication. So she had a certain maturity, even at the age of three. And it could be that Bizman Chazal, or Bizman HaTanach, that's what we're talking about, they matured much earlier. Whatever the case is, we know, for example, Avraham Avinu, when did he discover Hashem? Okay, it was a process. I actually spoke about it. But according to Chazal, Ben Sholosh Shanim Hikir Avraham is Baruch, he's 3 years old. Wow. Even you with all of your sophistication, I don't think at the age of three, you're ready to come to a discovery of Hashem. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik used to cite a Ravid. The Ravid actually has a critique of the Rambam. What do you mean three? Chazal say it was 40. So the Rav said, there's no kashya, there's no stira. He started at three and ended at 40. It was a 37-year process. It took a long time till he came to this conclusion. And it was not an easy discovery. He was obviously, as Rashi quotes from Chazal, he's on one side, the rest of the world is on the other side. So this age or these ages symbolize stage in a person's spiritual development. And so Rivka was highly spiritually developed, and apparently so is Avraham Avinu. So all of us know that young children at a young age tend to be quite, pardon the expression, egocentric. They're into themselves. They don't give, they take. I can observe this on an ongoing basis. Baruch Hashem, I'm zoichet to have young grandchildren, very young, and one can observe them. They are the laboratory where I watch all this and do all my scientific experiments. They don't possess the faculty to understand the world doesn't revolve around themselves. So a child who possesses such a quality of chesed at such a young age, instinctively, as part of her basic spiritual metal, that is astounding. And that's what we see with Rivka which Eliezer right away noticed. Secondly, if Eliezer was searching for a young child, it indicates he sought someone who was essentially not necessarily molded and one who would be not necessarily against having her personality shaped by her husband, by Yitzhak Avinu. So we're talking about a pure neshama. That's what Rivka was. Tesis does not agree. Tesis says a 14-year-old girl is a balas chesed because she decided to be one. And she acted upon that decision. Certainly a 14-year-old is someone who could already come to conclusions based on their own experience in life, albeit of a limited nature. And according to Tesis, Eliezer was not looking for some timid child who's going to follow her husband's lead. He was looking for someone who would be the mother of Knesset Yisrael, the mother of Am Yisrael. And that's the Rivka that we encounter in Mitzvah Hashem in the course of a number of parshas. So there are two aspects I want to accentuate. One is the strength of her commitment to the specific quality of chesed. And secondly, her ability to take initiative with regards to all these qualities. So essentially we have perhaps a kind of a machlokes, whether it was instinctive or somehow she was able to develop this quality of chesed, a leadership kind of role. And this, of course, is a very positive quality. And this is the quality that belongs in the house of Avraham Avinu. Let me just add one or two elements to this as well. When the Torah describes Rivka, here she's running to and fro. Eliezer came with an entourage of many people, of camels, of gemalim. And one would think that he should be the one who should obviously do that which has to be done. And instead, the Torah describes how Rivka came out. He runs to her, to Rivka. And Rashi comments because the water ascended, the water went up. And clearly she must have been someone of great spiritual stature. So if that alone is a simon, namely the water ascended, all of the krasa, so what's he looking for other simonim? Why is it necessary now to see whether she's going to not just give him a drink, but also give the camels to drink? And the answer simply is because even though he knew now she was a tzadekes because of the ness that occurred, the Mayim came to greet her, but still there's no proof that she's a balas chesed, an extraordinary balas chesed. Sometimes a person can be a tzadik in certain areas and not in other areas. A person could be a tremendous mamin b'Hashem, believe in Hashem, believe in the Hashkocha, divine providence, but not necessarily be a balas chesed extraordinaire. And so that's what he wanted to test, to see if she was a balas chesed of such an extraordinary nature that only such a person would fit into the house of Avraham Avinu. I once heard from Hagoyin Rav Avigdor Levinsohn Shlita, he said the name of his father-in-law, Hagoyin Rav Chaim Zev Finkel Zatzal. His father-in-law, Rabbi Levinsohn Shlita, was known as the Chazap. Chazap, they always have Rashi Tevis for everybody. Chet Zayin Pei is Chaim Zev Finkel. He was the Mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva many, many years ago. So he, Rav Levinsohn's Shver, his father-in-law, distinguished between the chesed that Eov did to the chesed that Avraham Avinu did. Not only in the level of chesed, but in the quality of chesed. Eov, simply, if you studied Eov, you'll see that he's trying to help others. And essentially, he gives an oreach, he gives a guest, that which the guest is missing. But essentially, that's what he's doing. And that's certainly a beautiful thing. And one should not make light of it. Avraham Avinu is a completely different madrega of chesed. His chesed is not simply to help someone else. His chesed is an end in itself, not just a means to an end. With Eov, it's a means to an end. With Avraham Avinu, it's an end in itself. Avraham is a gomel chesed because he wants to be a gomel chesed. He gives to others not only that which they're lacking, but rather he gives chesed because that is what Hashem Yisbarach wants us to do. He's about chesed because it's one of the midos of Hashem Yisbarach. As the Gemara says in Sefer Daf Yud Daled, Imitati Odeh, Mahu, just like Hashem is Mevakeh Cholim, visit the sick. Hashem visited Avraham Avinu, the beginning of Ayera. So too, I visit the sick. Just like Hashem is Menachem Avelin, comforts, consoles the mourner, I console the mourner. And the chesed that I do is not simply to assist someone else, but essentially, I want to follow the midos of Hashem Yisbarach. Eov does chesed only when it's necessary, and no more. Avraham does chesed even when it's not necessary. There's even a chazal, very striking chazal, that the midah of chesed said to Hashem the following. All the days that Avraham Avinu was around, I didn't have to do my melacha. I had no need to do chesed. Avraham Avinu was in my place. The chasodim of Avraham Avinu are so numerous that there's no need for even midas chesed to operate. He is the exemplar of midas chesed. And we know that people who are bali chasodim, the pasuk says in Kohelet Perakei, Ohev kesev lo yizba kesev. Someone who's running after money will never be satiated. Chazal speak about Moshe Rabbeinu. They say, Ohev mitzvahs. Moshe Rabbeinu was not sure of any mitzvahs, and yet he was always looking for more mitzvahs. And Chazal say as well, Ohev chesed lo yizba chesed. Someone who's running after chesed and loves chesed, there's no end. He'll always continue to find ways to do chesed. He'll do it without any limitations. He'll do it literally at sof yomav. They say in the name of the Vilna Gaon that the Gaon, before he passed away, he was literally on his deathbed. So the Gaon took one of his tzitzis and started crying. And his Talmidim asked him, why is the Rebbe crying? In a small amount of time, the Rebbe will be with the tzaddikim in Gan Eden. Who doesn't want that? And he answered, that's exactly why I'm crying. Because I'm leaving this world, I'm leaving Olam Hazeh for a few kopecks, for a few shekels, for a few pennies. One can be mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis. And now I'm going to a world where for all the money in the world, I won't be able to fulfill even one mitzvah. This is found in a sefer called Aliyos Eliyahu that I saw many, many years ago. Okay, he's going to receive a tremendous schar for all the Torah that he learned, for all the mitzvahs that he did. He'll be zochet l'pnei ashchina. He'll come to levels that he never reached in this world. But his interest in going was not just to be mekabel schar. He wanted to be an Ovid Hashem. He wanted to be mekayim mitzvahs. And therefore he cried right before his p'tira, before his demise, because only in this world is it possible to be Ovid Hashem. And that he's going to lose now is going to go to Olam Haba. He won't be able even to perform one mitzvah, even mitzvah achas. So this is an introduction to the second component of this year, which is a hesped for Hagoyin Moron Harav David Feinstein Zatzal. I want, by way of hakdama, a little preamble, to tell you first how normal a gadol he was. I went to him a fair number of times when I visited the United States of America. Why? First, I like to stalk Gedolei Yisrael. But even besides that, I decided that I have a lot of issues with a lot of the psokim of his father, the Gaon Hador, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. Sometimes I thought I saw contradictions in the psokim of Rav Moshe Feinstein. I said, let me ask his son, who would be better prepared to answer these questions than Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein Zatzal. So I went to him. I remember the first time. And he asked me where I came from. I told him I come from Eretz Yisrael. And I also told him I'm a Talmud of Hagoyin Rav Nissim Albert Zatzal, who was the Talmud Muvok of Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. He was my Rebbe for many, many years. Unfortunately, he passed away relatively a young man in his late 50s. So when he heard that I was a Talmud of Rav Nissim Albert Zatzal, he started crying, Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein. And I knew, Rav Nissim Albert told me, that he was a chavrusa. He learned the chavrusa with Rav David Feinstein in the yeshiva of Hagoyin Rav Moshe Feinstein, of Rav David's father. An MTJ was called, Pacific Fairs Yerushalayim, on the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It's an area that's changed over the last number of years considerably. I won't get into that aspect of things right now. But when he heard that I was a Talmud of Rav Nissim Albert, he was crying. And from that point on, it was clear I had free entree. He told me even, he said, what's the term they use to describe that in Eretz Yisrael? Protexia. Which means I have protexia with the Rosh Hashiva, with Avnissim Alpert, and therefore I have protexia with Avdova Feinstein. So I started asking him stiris, contradictions in Rav Moshe and his father. He said to me, Rabbi David, with my father there are no contradictions. What he wrote 70 years ago, he remembered 70 years later. He had a phenomenal memory. Mastery of the entire Kol HaTorah Kula was in his pocket. And he remembered everything. So I said to him, why do I think there's a stira? And what I used to do was I Xeroxed different pages of the Igros Moshe, showed him one page, and then showed him another page and another tshuva, and said, this is a stira. So he told me, I'm going to Avdomer Feinstein, who's your Rebbe? So I said, I learned by Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He's a mishpacha of Rav Soloveitchik. The Feinstein and the Soloveitchiks are family. So he said, oh, now I know why you're asking stiris. Because you read every line, you think you're reading the Ramban, Al HaTorah, or the Mechamas Hashem, or the Chiddush Ramban on Shas, and you're medayik in every Vav HaChibur. That's not what my father was all about. He was a great posek, but he wrote Bar Chava. He's not the Ramban. You don't have to make such diyukim. Okay? And he answered all my kashas. There was not one kasha he didn't answer. Every time I cited the tshuva, right away he knew the tshuva. I realized that after a short while, he knew the entire Igros Moshe by heart. Plus, Kol HaTorah Kula as well, like his father. And then I, on another occasion, I told him the following story that I heard from my Rebbe, Hagoyim Rav Nissim Alper, his Chavrusa. Rav Nissim Alper told me that Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how, used to say the main shiur once a week. It was on Friday morning. It was a three-hour shiur. Those shiurim I found in the Sefer or in a series of svarim called Dibros Moshe. Most of us are not even familiar with those svarim because they're very, very fat, heavy tomes. Echidushim on Kol HaShas. Many volumes. People bekoshi look at Igros Moshe. I know many people, what they do is in Igros Moshe, they look at the question, they skip the whole answer, and they go to the last paragraph that sums up the answer. And then they said, oh, I read the tshuvas of the Igros Moshe. So I told him what my Rebbe told me. My Rebbe said, he's to learn b'chabrusa with Rav David Feinstein. The entire Thursday, preparing for that shiur by Moshe Feinstein on Friday, all Thursday night till the shiur, which means they learned approximately between 15 and 20 hours together. Rav David Feinstein Zatzal and my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Alper Zatzal. And then they would go to the shiur, which was about 3 hours. And then they would speak to the Rosh Hashiva, to Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal about the shiur. And then on Friday, they would daven mincha, eat lunch. And then what happened after that? They went to play handball. I don't know if anyone knows here what handball is. Against the wall. And sometimes they played punch ball, where you punch a Spalding ball. I grew up on that. And sometimes they would play stick ball together with a stick. Similar to baseball, not exactly. I asked him, what? This is what you used to do on Friday? He said, yes. After 20 hours in the shiur, we had to relax a little bit. And then sometimes they went swimming on Erev Shabbos. And then they went into Shabbos. They davened. They ate the meal. And then they collapsed and went straight to sleep. So it was like Shavuos night every single Thursday and Thursday night. So Rav Nissim Alper told this to me. So I asked Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, I had the audacity to ask him, is this true, what my Rebbe told me? And again, he started crying, and he said, it's completely true. And I asked him, why is the Rosh Hashiva crying? He said, I'm crying over my chabusa. He called him his Rebbe. Al hay shufra debali ba'ara. He was nifter at such a young man. The loss to the world is incalculable. It's absolutely indescribable that Rav Nissim Alper was nifter. I remember a month after Hagoyim Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal was nifter in 1985, a month later or so, my Rebbe on Nisim Albert Zatzal was Nifta. He was maspid his Rebbe. He eulogized his Rebbe Rav Moshe in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And a month later, he himself, unfortunately and tragically, passed away as well. I was always astounded by the juxtaposition in time of the demise of the Gaon Hador and the demise of my Rebbe. It was a Rebbe in Talmud that not only in their life they were inextricably intertwined, but even in their death they were intertwined as well. So now when I think about HaGaon Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, I want to begin by telling you a story about HaGaon Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal. I'm going to apply it to his son, HaGaon Rav David Feinstein. There are many, many Gedolim stories, but Rav Moshe, his father, there's no doubt that about him you could say what the Pasuk says in Chumash. V'yayish Moshe anav ma'od mikol ha'adam al-pleyo adama. At the end of Bahaloscha, the Torah describes Moshe Rabbeinu, his anava, his incredible humility. The Torah says he was the most humble of all people, al-pneyo adama. I don't know if you're aware, the New York Times, Lahavdil Milfalfi Abdullahs. I'm not so fond of that paper. I won't get into politics right now. New York Times interviewed HaGaon Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal many, many years ago and asked him, how did you become so famous? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, in his humility, said, well, apparently one day someone had a Shailin Halacha and they asked me, what's the din? And I told them an answer. Apparently they liked the answer. So what do? They have a chaver who also has a question in halacha. So the chaver said, who should I ask? Asked Rabbi Feinstein. So they came to me, the second one. He asked me a question. I answered him. Apparently he liked my answer also. And suddenly, before I know it, I'm swamped with all kinds of people who are asking me questions in halacha. Hundreds, thousands of questions in halacha that people are asking Rabbi Moshe. He said, that's how I became famous. Mind-boggling, such humility on the part of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He didn't indicate to the reporter that he just happens to know Kol HaTorah Kula by heart, that he's learned through Dal Chelgi Shulchan Aruch, knows the Bava Yerushalmi and everything else that was ever written. No. One person asked him, a second one, a third one, a fourth one. Before you know it, he's deluged with all kinds of questions. So he didn't really understand why people came to ask him questions. A second vignette. And there's a very beautiful biography of Art Scroll of HaGaon Rav Moshe Feinstein. There's the first edition, the second edition. Rav Moshe Feinstein was once walking on the Lower East Side and was getting into a car. A fellow walking on the street noticed a friend of his down the block whose name also was Moshe, and he called out, hey, Moshe! He wanted to call out to his friend. Rav Moshe Feinstein turned around and said, oh, Shalom Aleichem, what would you like? How many people on the Lower East Side or anywhere in the world would call Rav Moshe Feinstein, hey, Moshe? Trust me, none of us would do that. How could he think that that person meant him? And the answer is because he was exceptionally modest. He was a person who was so unbelievably big, such a giant, and yet he saw himself as being a small person. He writes in the Akdama to Igris Moshe, HaGaon Rav Moshe Feinstein, he doesn't know what people are getting excited about, the Igris Moshe. Everyone, you learn the sugya, you have a problem, you go through the sugya, the Rishayim, the Achrayim, you come to Maskana, people ask you a question, and you write it out. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, people continue to ask questions. You learn that sugya, go through Rishayim and Achrayim, write it out. That's all he did. Anybody could do what he did. No problem. Each one of us could go through the sugya and go through all shas, Rishayim and Achrayim, and write it out. And before you know it, you have the Igris Moshe. Mind-boggling. HaGaon Rav David Feinstein was exactly the same Anav that his father was. V'yayish David Anav Me'ein Mikol Adam Asher Al Pnei Adama. I don't know how many of you know this. His father, Rav Moshe Feinstein, wore a frock, a long black coat, and a turned up
black hat, the way well-known rabbis, rabbonim, the way they dress. Rav David Feinstein wore a regular suit and a regular hat, like all of you and myself. So I had the audacity to ask Rav David Feinstein, how come he doesn't put on the frock, the long black coat, the way big rabbis? And he answered me in a very honest way, what? I'm going to wear a frock that my father, Zatzal, wore? I am not roi lekach. I'm not worthy of wearing such a frock. Only big rabbis wear such begodim. I'm a simple rav. This is what I heard from him. I thought I was hearing things. I was. I was hearing about his anova, his unbelievable humility. There was a tkufa where people wanted to talk to him and ask him shailos in halacha. So what does he do? He goes to the pizza shop on the Lower East Side and sits there once a week in the pizza shop. And people lined up. I'm not joking. I myself saw it. People lined up for two blocks. There was a line snaking around the half the Lower East Side. And he has a cup of coffee. And, of course, the pizza shop owner, he loved this. What did it bring in business? Unbelievable what's going on there. Rav David Feinstein just wanted to make himself available so people could ask him shailos in halacha. So when I think of Rav David Feinstein, there's another great personality that probably many of you are not so familiar with. You're very young, Baruch Hashem. You're all going to become great Talmidei Chachamim and great Torah scholars. Just a question of time. There's another personality who was the son of one of the great Rishonim, who also, I think, paled in the shadow of his father. Who was that? Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam. How many of you heard of the Rambam's son? The Rambam had one son, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Arambam. He was born, I believe, when the Rambam was in his 50s. And I think he was 18 years old when his father died. He was known as a chassid, as a nogid. And what did he spend his entire life doing? Defending the Rambam, defending his father from attacks. His father was attacked widely. And that I assume you probably are somewhat aware of. He was attacked because of Moron Nevuchim. He was attacked because of his positions in halacha. Everyone attacked the Rambam. That people seem to have a field day doing that. Talking about Rishonim. I don't mean chas v'shalom physical attacks. And he was obviously the Rambam. You know what they say about him? Mi Moshe ad Moshe lekom ke Moshe. From the days of Moshe Rabbeinu till Moshe ben Maimon till the Rambam, there was no one of that stature. And I believe that one could say about the Rambam's son, Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam, May Avraham and Avraham lo kom ke Avraham. He spent his entire life defending his father. And that was the ultimate in Kibbutz Avei. When he was a very young man, Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam became very ill. How do we know this? The Rambam writes a letter, his father, to Rav Chisdoya Levi from Alexandria, and he tells him that my son became very ill. For 3 days, he was hovering between life and death. You know, the Rambam was a famous doctor, Kayodua, and literally he was between life and death, and Baruch Hashem, he recovered, and it was clear he was a child prodigy. When he's 15 years old, I want to read you what the Rambam writes about his son. The Rambam wrote, "Binyani ha'olam ein li nechama. I have no consolation when it comes to worldly matters, with the exception of two things. Kshe'estakel ve'ayayin b'mesha ayayin. When I look into sugus and shas, that gives me nechama. That gives me consolation. And secondly, v'shezeh b'ni Avram, that my son Avram, Hashem Yisaleh, nasa lo cheinu bracha. He has a chein to him, a grace, a charm to him. Mibirkas mi shenikra al shemo. Why? Ki hu anav v'shafal sheba anoshim. The Rambam cites the anava of his son, the humility, the modesty of his own son. Plus, he's a balminos mufla. Plus, he's a balsichel dak. He's intellectually a giant. And he's going to become one of the Dolei Yisrael b'lo safek. Wow. What a statement that a father makes about his own son. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, when Rab David was a very young man, someone asked him, what is the nature of your son? And Rabbi Moshe answered, Eken Gan Shas. He knows the entire Shas. And he was a very young man at the time. So just as Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam learned with his father, the Rambam, that was his Rebbe, and that was the one that the Rambam confided in, who was very intimately connected to his father. The Rambam only had one son, and clearly the Rambam revealed to him many, many things. The Rambam was 69 years old when he passed away, and he left a son who was 18 at that time. And unquestionably, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam, just like his father, was a manhig gadol, and the leader of the Jewish community in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, and the personal physician of the Sultan, so too, Rabbeinu Avraham ben Rambam was the Manhig Yisrael, and as I said, he spent his entire life defending his father in many, many different works that he wrote, whether it's the Sefer HaMitzvos of his father. There's a famous Sefer that Hasogas on the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, and he defended it, Birkas Avraham, Maisa Nisim. And he wrote as well a very famous, beautiful Musar philosophic work, which is called Hamaspik Lo'ov the Hashem, which has been translated into English. That's Kedai to get a hold of. So he was, in effect, the one who was, I would call him the alter ego of his father. If there's anyone to me, in my mind, who was of a similar nature, it was Hagoyim, Rav David Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I never heard of him till his father passed away. And he was already literally, as they say in Hebrew, tzatzah. He was already nuclear material, if I can use such term. He was already, they say in Hebrew, a bomba. He was already a bomb. It was a giant. But no one knew who he was, because he was so humble and so modest and so tzanua. Literally, people didn't have a clue who he was. He didn't advertise himself. He stayed in the shadow. He sat in the back of the Beis Medrash. He didn't wear special clothing, as I mentioned. He sits in a pizza shop, drinks a cup of coffee, and schmoozes with everyone, Kimadabi Yishoveyeyo, the way I'm talking to you. But he knew how to play handball and stickball, a normal gadol. I heard some of the eulogies that were said for him, both in America and here. Here they didn't say much, except they indicated he was a nistar. His nephew spoke, members of the Feinstein family here in Eretz Yisrael. His uncle, he had a cousin who's the son-in-law of the Brisker Rav, Rav Michal Feinstein, Zatzal. So two of his children spoke. They said he was a totally nistar, a completely hidden person, but they knew exactly who he was. About 45 years ago or so, maybe 50 years ago, he wrote a sefer called Kol Dodi and the Haggadah Shel Pesach. I have the sefer. It's been translated into English by Art Scroll. It's a halachic analysis of Ari Pesachim, which you guys are learning now. So that's a sefer that's kedai to own. It is an unbelievable sefer. It was a very young man at the time when he wrote the Sefer. It is a fantastic Sefer. So his cousin, Hagoyim the Michal Feinstein, the son of the Brisker Rav being the uncle of Rav Soloveitchik, saw the Sefer and was absolutely stunned by the Sefer that he wrote. The level of lumdus and the height of his unbelievable knowledge of halacha was very, very clear. Hagoyim Rav David Feinstein was involved with many, many institutions. Torah Masorah is an organization that's involved with many, many educational institutions throughout the United States, throughout the world. He was very, very close and very connected to them. He was like the father of Art Scroll, very connected to Art Scroll, to what they did. But he never appeared publicly. He didn't speak publicly. So I had the audacity again to ask him, how come he doesn't appear publicly? Who appears? His brother, Hagoyim Rav Reuven Feinstein, Shashem Yarech Yamav, should have Arichas Yomim. He's about 10 years younger than he is. I say, how come your brother appears? So he smiles at me and says, look at me. So I look at him. He says, do I look like my father? I didn't know what to say. But my brother looks exactly like my father. The same white beard, the same regal kind of personality. He's a great speaker. I'm not such a great speaker. That's why my brother speaks. Because when people speak, hear my brother speaking, they see Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. They see my father, Zatzal. They would hear me. I don't look like my father. I'm not my father. I don't come near my father. Unbelievable. He came out and never spoke publicly. Sanua beyond Sanua. And yet a man who knows the entire Kol HaTorah Kula. Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal, the great posting in Eretz Yisrael, said, he's the posting ador in America. He's the last word. I heard today, in the name of Agoy Rav Heschel Shechter Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomov, that he said, if he wants to know, anytime he wanted to know a psak of Agoy Rav Moshe Feinstein, the authentic position, there's only one person to talk to. Agoy Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's all. It was a Baal Chesed Mufla. He spent his whole life answering thousands of questions. He wrote very little in Psak Halacha. So I always didn't really have a good sense of his greatness. Except when I asked him questions, which he answered right away. But how many times did I see him? Only a handful of times. And then, the last number of years, there appeared two volumes called V'Dibarta Bo, taken from the Kriya Shema, written by a Talmud of his, Rav Baruch Moskowitz, who was a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, who publicized the psukim of his Rebbe, Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein. Two fat volumes of psukim in Dalei Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, and I was floored. I literally flipped out when I see what this man, he didn't write it, it was written by his Talmud, but it's all the psukim of Hagoyin Rav David Feinstein and the background for the psukim. I spoke to him many, many years ago about one of my favorite topics, Pas Tabor B'Kisnin, the so-called Mizonos rolls on the plains. That's what I spoke to him about. I have a lot to say about that. I asked many years ago Rabbi Belsky Zatzal. He called it halachic skullduggery. And Rabbi Feinstein, Rabbi David Feinstein Zatzal, had a similar kind of position. I've actually given these rolls to two chaverim of mine who are professors of chemistry to see how much meperos is there. How much fruit juice is there? And they examined in their laboratories and discovered these rolls are desiccated, are dry beyond belief, have no time to them. Almost as if they were somehow stuck somewhere for 2 years and then they put it on a plane next to your meal. I'm talking about the special kosher meals. So for them, you're only going to make, obviously, they say on it, Mizonos rolls. You know, everyone sells Mizonos rolls, Mizonos rolls. God forbid I should wash my hands and say, too much of a tircha. Why would I be bothered doing that? And it's clear you make hamotzi at all these things. So these two svarim came out. And wow, I was just completely stunned. They said today about him at the Levaya, he never spoke a word of Lashon Hara his entire life. I had several rabbeim who didn't seem to know what Lashon Hara is. How's that possible? A lot of people get hanor from speaking Lashon Hara. Okay, there are many yisurim involved, but it's you get a certain gishmak. He had no gishmak in that. His only gishmak was in helping others. He was about chesed mufla. All midos tovos. Hagoyin Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, Shashem Yarech Yomov. He's in his 90s, a youngster, a son of Hagoyin Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. He was maspidim in America. He said he doesn't have much more to say over all the others. He said he was an absolutely extraordinary human being. To be with him was the most geschmack experience that one could possibly have. His midos were sterling, superb beyond superb. There was a point in time a number of years ago where there was a very major issue in France there was a need to raise money for Jewish education. So they asked Hagoyim Abdullah Feinstein, who was not a youngster, he was in his 80s. He traveled to France and raised an enormous sum of money for Jewish education. He was involved with many institutions. And the loss of Hagoyim Abdullah Feinstein is devastating. The tzniyus he lived with, the pashtus, the modesty that he displayed, the unbelievable smile. Every time I spoke to him, there were times when he was clearly thoroughly exhausted. And he didn't need any pests like me coming to make him crazy. But the way he greeted me with such a sevir panim yafos, and he actually remembered me. Oh, Rabbi David from Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud of Rav Nissim Alpert, my chavrusa, was unbelievable. The loss is incalculable. Kosher misas tzadikin kisreifas beis elokeinu. Chazal say that when a tzaddik passes away, it's almost like the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Such a Baal Chesed. That is exactly what Parshas Chayisar is all about. Torah tchilasa gemilas chasodim v'sofa gemilas chasodim. Torah begins with Chesed and ends with Chesed. And what Hagoyim Abdullah Feinstein Zatzal did was simply emulate the midos of Hashem Yisbarach. He was the Avraham Avinu, the Rivka Imenu of our generation. Halavai that all of us should try our best to acquire in some form or fashion some of these wonderful qualities that he exemplified. And Be'ezer Hashem, if all of us become practitioners of Chesed par excellence, I remember Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal used to say, everyone does Chesed, but to do Chesed be spashtus so expansively and so extravagantly and so non-selfishly, the way Rav David Feinstein did, the kibbutz of the aim that he displayed in terms of how he defended the psukim of his father Zatzal, the Gadol Hador, similar to Avin Avraham and Rambam, all these are unbelievable qualities. All of us have to emulate. Halavai, we should do so. And with this chesed, if we practice chesed, not only will Hashem remove the pandemic, but halavai be'karov, the gula shleim of Meher B'Yameinu will come. Yehei zichro baruch lenetzach netzachim, amen v'yamein.
Thank you, Rosh Hashiva.
Thank you, Rosh Hashiva.
Thank you, Rosh Hashiva.
Thank you so much, Rosh Hashiva.
Thank you.
Thank you.